Good morning, welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting of June 5th, 2018. First thing is to approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change to today's agenda. We can strike the number four under County Administrator, Town of Del Mar presentation. They would ask for a 1 week delay and come back next week.
Entertained a motion to approve the amended agenda?
So moved.
Mr. Arlett, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Obvious, motion carried. We had a copy of the minutes of May 22nd. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy? Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good seeing you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. After what I just handed you, real simple, from what I've been suggesting for the last few years, trying to come up and get everything to tie together. Going through the code, this should answer with the public stable, private stable, all in the under 5 acres. If it's not listed, not permitted. If it's listed, it's permitted. Under definitions and word uses, commercial poultry house, facility for housing and feeding more than 100 poultry. And then if you have 100, over 99, you're just private. If you go 101 chickens, or ducks, or whatever, to fowl, you turn into commercial. If that's listed as needing a conditional uses or special use exception, it's listed under AR. I do not understand why under AR you cannot add public stables and other things needed in the under 5 acres to make it permitted for people to have uses that they should be required to or not required to as you see fit. But you can't have one thing listed that's almost identical to it as being permitted for coming in under board of conditional use or special use or something like that, and then randomly seem to make exceptions to make something fit or go off the beaten path for it and just to get something approved. It should be a simple fix. You should be able to protect the equine community, give them the setbacks that they need, give them the uses that they desire, they should have. This should say it all. It's as simple as it can be. It compares apples for apples. It's not oranges. It takes some of the hypocrisy out of the code and brings back in, again, it's permitted in GR. Why is it not permitted in AR? It's the dumbest thing that I've ever tried to understand with this code. That's enough on that subject. Second subject, which comes back to setbacks, which does not make no sense to me. Watching a hearing, you have a commercial entity coming in, an identical business comes in under commercial, has a 20-foot setback. An identical business comes in on an AR lot, comes in for conditional, only requires a 15-foot setback. But then again, if they come in on the same parcel as the GR, it's only a 10-foot setback for the same identical business, same identical building. It just does not make the continuity of why should commercial then be 20 if GR is only 10 foot for a setback for a conditional use for the same identical business, why should it, the commercial one, pay the penalty or vice versa? And I still do not understand the difference between with the AR and GR for what the county tries to compare and do with them for setbacks. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
I
zone Old Streets today.
My name is Dan Kramer. Have you guys learned anything about farming in the last couple of weeks? I sure hope so. I was talking to a farmer the other day, and he went and looked up the land use plan. He said, but right here it says we're out to protect the farmers. I said, they are. I said, why don't you keep on reading and really look at the thing? And after it hit him on this ag thing, you should have heard him then. I'm telling you, going to school with the farmers.
Thank you, sir. Gina Jennings, second quarter employee recognition awards.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I'd like to take the time to recognize some of our employees for exceptional customer service. There were 41 employees who received recognition for the second quarter. A committee of supervisors and employees reviewed all the submittals and would like to highlight three employees. The first employee receiving honorable mention is Denise Draper of the Constable's Office. Denise has been instrumental in finalizing the Munis violation complaint software with the Constable and Planning and Zoning offices. No matter what the issue, time of day, and what she is currently working on, her coworkers have witnessed her going out of her way to assist both employees and customers. The submitter stated in the nomination, the valuable assistance that Denise provides is spectacular. I would hate to imagine not having Denise in the Constable's office and overseeing its everyday functions. The next honorable mention goes to Renee Davidson of the Collections Division. Renee's schedule is tight, and she leaves the county and goes directly to her next job. She works part-time. Recently, one of her coworkers was fighting an illness. Renee took the initiative to review everyone's schedules for the next few weeks and adjusted her own schedule so that she can be available to cover the office. She ensured that the office would not be short-staffed for extended periods of time. This level of internal customer service is very much appreciated and is a huge asset to our team. Lastly, the next employee received the second quarter customer service award. This award goes to Joel Marshall of Mapping and Addressing. He received recognition for keeping our GIS services running at peak performance behind the scenes. He works when others aren't, so not to cause any disruption to anyone else's workday. A prime example is when Joel was recently at training. To avoid missing the training for the day, he got up at 4 a.m. to make the changes that were needed to the system to ensure his coworkers could continue to work throughout the day while he was at training. Again, this is just one example of the extra effort initiative that Joel makes as a county employee. These are just three of the 41 customer service awards county employees received. Now we would like to recognize the three employee winners with a picture with Mr. Lawson and Mr. Vincent, followed by a group picture. So could Denise, Renee, and Joel please come up and get a picture.
Stir of the show.
Yes, you do. That's why we love you, Chip.
All right. Star was competing for the shine.
Everybody has got a group.
Anyone recognize this corner? Please come forward. We'll take a group shot.
There you go.
Come on then.
Come on.
Don't be shy.
Did I get the scene?
That's it.
Good job, Rusty.
There's Rusty.
Step right here.
Go to the other side. Bounce it off. Yeah, chip will straighten it out.
Tall people today.
They all want to go over this, and yes, we've got.
You want to smooth the backs on that one?
Yeah, if you want my own back, yeah. We drill it all. Todd, if you'll come in on this side, that's good. Now.
Come on, George, let's photobomb. What do you want to do?
There you go. No, you can go this way. I'm trying to see everybody's face.
I'll do this.
If you see someone else's head, then I can't see.
Is it going to be okay, Chip? We could
have so.
Todd there, reflection on our heads or anything.
Now he can see me.
Here comes the worker bomb.
That'll really get this shot of heads.
Thank you, everyone.
Put him on.
Why would you
be
down there?
I'm
going down there.
It's fun.
Okay.
It's entertainment. Entertainment value, Todd.
Sweet or Zell?
What's Renee's last name?
Donna. We're going to move now to our 10:15 public hearing. Whoever's.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on the Sussex Shore Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project. And there will be a short explanation by Mr. Wright and Ms. Deptula from the Engineering Department. After that, the council will have an opportunity to question, and then it will be open to the public. The floor is yours.
Good morning.
Morning.
For the public hearing record, I'm Patricia Deptula, the Director of Special Projects from Sussex County Engineering Department, and this is Joe Wright, Assistant County Engineer. Joe was also the project engineer for the project. We're here to request approval of the final assessment roll for the Sussex Shores Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project number 1413. As required in section 9611B of our code, a public hearing shall be held to show all affected property owners, to allow all affected property owners the opportunity to comment on the assessment roll prior to Sussex County Council's adoption. Also, as required by the code, a notice of the public hearing for today was advertised in the Wave newspaper classified section for 2 weeks on May 22nd and May 29th, 2018. It was also mailed to every assessable property owner of record on May 18, 2018, along with copies of the final project's final cost dated May 18, 2018, and the May 18, 2018 assessment roll provided in your council packet. The project was designed and inspected by the private engineering consulting firm of George Miles and Buer Incorporated, under the direction of Joe Wright, Assistant County Engineer of the County Engineering Department. It consisted of two main construction contract awards, 1413A and B, and then four construction requests for proposals, 1413C, D, E, and F. Each of these six items were bid and awarded to the lowest bidders. All the construction items have been completed, and on December 12, 2017, the Council approved a balancing change order to close out the final contract. The final cost attachment provided to you in your packet shows a breakdown of all the costs incurred for design, inspection, and construction of the project. The total project cost is $1,942,855.09. The final assessment rate is determined by dividing the total project cost by the total number of assessable properties within the community. There are currently 118 assessable properties in the completed project. This calculates out to an amount of $1,211.51 annually per assessable property over a 20-year time period using an interest rate of 4%. There's also an option provided to pay off the entire assessment by making a one-time lump sum payment in the amount of $16,464.87. For the record, these rates are lower than we originally presented at the project's election. All Sussex Shores assessable property owners will be billed by the county billing department after your approval of the assessment roll today. After the comment period of today's public hearing is closed, I will have a motion to present to you asking for approval of the final assessment roll. Do you have any questions from me?
Any questions?
Question to council.
That's roughly over $100 a month per person.
Just per property, yeah, just over.
Per property,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to speak in regards to this matter?
Let me, Mr. Witzel. I do have one item that was received by telephone, a request of the person, Jeanette Golden, from Unit C Pilot House Condos, located on 5th Street. She couldn't make it to the public hearing today, realizes that it's too late to have any changes made, but wanted to go on record that she feels their condo association does not benefit from the roads and should not be part of the assessment. She is part of the Homeowners Association and does pay dues, and also did present a petition in favor of the project in the beginning. So I just wanted to, you know, put that on record for her.
Sure. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Witzel.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I'm here on behalf of the Sussex Shores Beach Association Board of Directors and its president, Frank Kelly. Mr. Kelly, Senator Kelly, regrets that he cannot be here today to thank you, first of all, for the project and its completion, to thank Patty and Joe, the finance director, and all of the people who have made this a very successful public-private partnership. I also regret that Senator Kelly could not be here this morning, because you would have found him to be a very persuasive and interesting gentleman. He's a former Maryland State Senator and a founder of a very successful healthcare business in Maryland. The board and the association members in general approve the assessment rolls. We discussed these at the Memorial Day weekend meeting. I introduced the matter and explained the assessment process, the fact that these assessments could be paid annually or in one lump sum, that they came in under budget, which is an astounding fact in light of the complexity of this project. And we asked if anyone disagreed with the assessments. We heard from no one in attendance. That, of course, does not cover everyone. There was some, there were minor issues with unit owners versus lot owners, as there always have been in Sussex Shores about payment of assessments. But it was clear from the very beginning, and we had to take two different polls of the community, that this would be a unit and lot assessment. There are, I think, six condominium regimes within Sussex Shores, and the units themselves are being separately assessed, as well as the single family lots, equally separately assessed. So we did hear throughout the project that a couple of unit owners, particularly in those units that did not have interior streets, were not entirely pleased with the assessment. But nevertheless, none spoke up at the meeting. In addition to Senator Kelly's thanks to the council, he asked me to personally thank Joe and Patty for their efforts. They showed up on Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends for the past 2 years to explain these projects. Busy weekends with lots of traffic. It took them extra time to get there. I thank them as well for their participation in my efforts to get this underway. It's been a tremendously successful operation. What Patty didn't tell you is that the Sussex Shores is one of our older beachfront communities. It's just directly north of Bethany Beach. All of the telephone lines, power lines, and internet cable lines were above ground. There were explosions from transmitters for the past several years. People were concerned about that. And it, frankly, was very unsightly. Patty and Frank and I got together. I was aware of the community improvement project. I introduced that. Everett and David Rutt and I talked about it. It seemed like a stretch, but these people really made it happen. And I can't thank them enough, and neither can President Kelly. If you go into Sussex Shores now, all of the lines are buried. There are no transmission poles. The streets have been repaved. There have been drainage improvements. This kind of project benefits the county in that you're receiving some extra juice on interest over the next 20 years. I don't know that calculation, but Patty, this is a good thing for the county financially, and I'm sure Gina can concur with that. And it's a terrific thing for those property owners who could not have gotten together, even though it's a luxurious community. There was no way that I could have gotten that community together to finance this project for the costs involved. So with that in mind, the Sussex Shores Beach Association and its board of directors respectfully ask you to approve the assessment roll. This is truly a successful public-private partnership, and thank you for the time that you've offered me to address this.
Thank you.
Please share with the Senator, we're grateful for him to have a property in Delaware versus Maryland.
Yes.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Any other member of the public that would like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. And somebody's going to read the...
There is a proposed motion.
Proposed motion. Yes.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineer and the Sussex County Finance Director, and in accordance with Sussex County Code Chapter 96, Sussex Community Improvements, that Sussex County Council approve the Sussex Shores Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project Number 1413 Assessment Roll, included in your packet, and that each assessable property within the project pay the final assessment rate of $1,211.51 annually for a 20-year time period, with the option to make a one-time lump sum payment of $16,464.87. Sussex County Council authorizes the Director of Finance to proceed with the billing for each assessable property in accordance with the Chapter 96 code.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I will defer my vote because I have a conflict.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much for all your hard work.
And is this your last project you two are going to be involved in for the county?
I think so.
Should we applaud?
Yes.
You did a heck of a job.
Thank you all very much. We'll now revert back on the agenda to Mr. Lawson.
All right. Thank you. And I would agree with Mr. Cole. That was probably one of the, if not the most complex CIP projects we've had in the history of the county. So kudos to Mr. Wright and Ms. Steptula. It was a very complex project. And we've heard nothing but positive praises from all the residents. Okay. Couple items to get to today. First is wastewater agreement number 638-17, Sussex County project number 81-04, the estuary phase 1C-1C construction record, Meadow Creek Sanitary Sewer District. This has a system connection charge of $101,760, construction days 15, construction admin and inspection costs $10,531, and proposed construction cost $70,211. I have a motion here, Mr. President.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 638-17, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between the Sussex County Council and Estuary Development LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Estuary Phase 1C-1C construction record located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The next item is the Planning and Zoning Commission appointment. As we recently discussed, Mr. Arlett's appointment in District 5, Chairman Marty Ross has signaled to the county that he is going to retire at the end of his term, which ends at the end of this month. And we are going through the motions of finding a replacement for that position. And I believe Mr. Arlett has an update on that process.
Sure. I think first and foremost, I think we should all applaud again Commissioner Marty Ross for his efforts and for his service to this county. I think he's done a tremendous job, and we all should be proud of his service. Number two is that we have actually changed the process a little bit this time around for the first time ever in the county. Before, it was typically word of mouth, and if somebody had an interest, they would reach over to that council member for to acknowledge that they had some interest. That council member would typically be agreeable to somebody, and then it would be shared with Todd, the county administrator, of that selection. And then, of course, they would fill out an application, quasi-application, if you would. And, of course, at the completion, it would be forwarded to the members for a public hearing. That's typically what was done in the past. This go-around, it was decided, as we continue to grow and evolve as a county, that we will, this decision was a little late in the timeline. I wanted to let everybody know that we don't want any gaps, as Commissioner Ross retires and somebody else comes on. So we didn't want any weeks, so our timeline is what it is. So what we decided to do is we had some staff provide a new application, a digital application, a link, if you would. I think in future, it will be posted, publicly speaking, with all media outlets, right, Todd?
You can do that.
And there would be a vetting process in that scenario, and very likely have the link posted on our website. This go around, because of the time constraints, the application was created, the link was generated, given to myself, and then I had forwarded that link to the individuals who had expressed some interest in this position. To date, I will share with everybody that we've had multiple people express some interest. We've had three people actually apply using this new link and using this new process. And at that point in time, that application is directly given to Todd Lawson, the county administrator, only. And then he forwards it over to myself, or in the future, it would be to the corresponding council member. Then we review it. If we are agreeable to share that application with the other members of council, then that's what we've done. So all three of these applicants' information have been shared with all members of council. And yes, this is private information, not to be shared to the public at this moment. Because of the qualified applicants, we've decided that we're not quite ready yet to make a decision. We want a little bit more time to vet and get some questions answered as it relates to these applicants. I'm very excited about the process, very excited about the qualifications of each of these people who have provided these applications. So we will have it back on our agenda this next Tuesday with a public announcement of who the candidate will be. And then I guess the following week, Todd, right, then we'll have a public hearing, correct? Whereas the applicant's information will be shared publicly and then move forward with a vote. Is that correct?
Correct. One correction, we'll have a public interview right at that time based on your selection of an appointee, and that interview process will take place here as required by Delaware Code, and once that interview process is done, it's up to the council's discretion to then make that selection on that candidate.
And can you also share, with this particular selection, is there any limitations on who it could be or should be per code?
There is. There is limiting factors per Delaware code, and county code reflects those restrictions related to a person's residency, a person's political party affiliation, and then the location of the entire commission makeup related to the councilmatic districts. Based on the current makeup of the Planning and Zoning Commission today, the only restriction that we have is District 5's appointment has to be either a Democrat or an independent. It cannot be a Republican because we are maxed out with Republican committee members right now, commission members at this time.
Well, to clarify, anybody but a non-Republican. It could be Green Party, right? Anybody but a Republican, just to clarify.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, just for our other friends out there. Anybody but a Republican is who this candidate has to be.
That's correct.
Okay.
Something wrong with the Republicans?
we are amongst many,
thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much.
So we'll be back next week. I'll place it back on the agenda
with an announcement. Yes.
And we'll go from there. Okay. Okay. Next item is the Delaware Agriculture Lands Preservation Program, and let me take a moment to pull up a PDF file. Okay. Okay, members of council, this PDF is also at your desks. This is a map that was provided to us by the Delaware Department of Agriculture. And it reflects the selection of the properties in round two of the Delaware Agriculture Land Preservation Program. I'm very pleased to announce today that Sussex County has decided to participate in round 22 of the Farmland Preservation Program with the state of Delaware, joining the state and Kent County as the other county that participated in round 22. This map shows the selection of properties in Sussex County. It's a little hard to see, but the selected properties for round 22 are indicated in red. You can also see the index to the right of the current preservation properties and their designated either agriculture easement, agriculture district, forest land preservation easement, forest land preservation area, young farmer, municipal boundary, and public protected land. So all of that is presented in various colors in Sussex County and throughout the state. On May 22, 2018, Council voted to participate in Round 22 and approve the expenditure of funds for the acquisition of easements totaling just over $536,000. By joining the state, the Council added to the property easements purchased in Sussex County and brought the total to nearly 800 acres comprising 10 farms and $1.3 million. I'll also share with you a list that is at your desk. The spreadsheet shows the properties in Sussex County only that was selected. The selection, of course, took place by the Agriculture Lands Preservation Foundation Board. It was not done by members of council. It was done through the board process. The county participated through the expenditure of funds and indicating properties that in Sussex County that they would like to see selected. Here are the properties that were selected. In this, you see the Agland project identification in the first column, the tax parcel ID in the second column, the total acres that were acquired in the third column, the percent discount listed in the fourth column. The percent discount is the discount that the property owner provided back to the state for the acquisition of the property. And the equal amount is located on the far right. Estimated easement purchase price. It's called estimate because they won't know the exact acreage until a survey is done. Once the survey is done, then that number will be finalized, but it's very close. So that is the total for round 22 in Sussex County. on average, Sussex County farms provided nearly 74% discount for the easement purchases. Throughout the state, this year's program saw a total purchase of the development rights of 41 farms totaling 3,534 acres. Since 2003, including this most recent effort, the county has contributed approximately $2.1 million to protect more than 2,800 acres of farmland in Sussex County. So today I wanted to present with you to you the results of round 22. There is no action required by council today. That action was taken back at a previous meeting when you voted at the conclusion of executive session. So here are those results. This map and the other listing, which I'll highlight here, you can see the list of individual farms throughout the state on the right hand of the PDF. This map and information will be public today as we speak. It's going up on the state website, the Department of Agriculture. So all I wanted to do is present the information, and that is the conclusion of round 22, and appreciate the council's support for this year's program.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We're going to wait a week for the Town of Del Mar presentation, come back next week for that as well. And I have the administrator's report for June 5th, 2018. Item one, the next Sussex County Council Comprehensive Land Use Plan workshop will be held on Wednesday, June 6th at 9:30 a.m. in council chambers. A copy of the agenda is attached. And item two, it's with great sadness that we note the passing of county employee Robert Bob Parson on Tuesday, May 22nd. Bob worked at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center as a dispatcher for 13 years. We wish to extend our condolences to the Parson family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.